bursting for it is Isaac Bruce. And Isaac Bruce threads his way for a touchdown.
Cooper Kupp breaks away. Touchdown Rams.
Fires Aaron Donald again.
Inside the 20. He is gone. Touchdown.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the LA Rams UK podcast, episode 65. And yes, don't all collapse. I am back by popular demand. Yes, it's me, Chris, to host this week. I do have one fan. I am pretty sure of it. So we will discuss, obviously, the Rams will hopefully still be in celebration mode as they go back into camp this week. As obviously a superb performance on the road in the desert this week with a 30-23 win over the high-flying Arizona Cardinals, which was nice to see. But joining me to break that down, go through obviously the normal format that we will also follow, plus a couple of little extras this week, is the Don, the Godfather himself. Tony, how are you, sir?
I am very well indeed, thank you. Chris, yourself?
Yes, not too bad at all, thank you. Not too bad at all. And we have a new voice to help us go through things this week, Tony. Annika, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing very well. How are you guys?
Welcome to the crazy world that is the LA Rams UK podcast.
I'm very excited to be here.
Well, I'll ask you the question now, Annika. Why the Rams?
Why indeed? So my godfather lives in St. Louis, well, Illinois, near St. Louis. And in 1999, he sent me over a Rams jersey. So that was kind of how the team was forced on me. But I would say I've always watched the Super Bowls, but I've been a proper avid LA Rams fan, I'd say, since about 2015. So I had a bit of the tough Jeff Fisher years before we've had the glorious Sean McVay time. So I can say I did suffer a bit, but probably not as much as a lot of people, but I did get a bit of the suffering. Yeah, and I worked previously for NFL UK, so I got to see behind the scenes of how the London games happen. I was there when the LA Rams came their last time, got to drive Aaron Donald around in a golf cart, which was great fun, and got to hang out with the team, so that was really cool. Recently with them, I launched NFL Her Huddle, which is a podcast dedicated to celebrating the great women we have in the NFL. Recently I did actually leave my role at NFL UK, although I'm still producing Her Huddle, but recently I've just joined Brentford FC's comms team, so been very, very busy over the last few weeks, to say the least.
superb. Tony, it's someone who knows what they're doing. We're in trouble here.
We're scuppered, Chris. Absolutely scuppered.
But no, Annika, good to have you with us. Good to see that the Rams are breeding more fans, shall we say, and we'll welcome anybody coming on here talking about the Rams, won't we, Tony?
Indeed, very much.
So let's get straight into, from what I see as actually a fantastic performance from the Rams this week against Cardinals. Tony, general thoughts, first of all, from yourself.
It was a long-awaited statement game, I think. I think there was a lot of anticipation with this game, because I know quite a few fans travelled from Los Angeles for this game, and it seemed like half of the Rams Empire tailgate crew actually rocked up outside the stadium. It looked like a bigger setup than they actually have in LA. But I think it is a favourite trip. It's usually over the weekend, obviously, but to Monday Night Football makes it a bit more difficult. But it's always a fan's favourite to get out down to Phoenix, I think. And it was just absolutely fantastic. I did not stay up until the early hours watching it. I did put my phone on airplane mode and I watched the 40-minute highlights at, I think it's about 6:30 by the time I sat down to watch it. It felt such an accomplished performance after the debacle of the COVID list growing and growing the night before. It just felt like a massive sense of accomplishment to actually, you know, completely dig in. There was a lot of good personal performances, but there was no getting away from the fact that it was a massive team performance.
Yeah, and I think that was one of the things that I'd written down, the team performance. It was on both sides of the ball, wasn't it? That both sides were helping each other out. And I was the same as you. I wasn't going to stay up to the early hours because I'm Unfortunately, I do have a job as well as doing this. I wish this was my job, but there we go. But no, I'm the same as yourself. I watched the highlights the following day, and it just, I think I was a little apprehensive going into it because, again, they are the number one in our division. So I was a little bit apprehensive about it. And obviously then what had happened at SoFi as well. But I agree with you, Tony. It felt, even from that first snap, from what you saw on the highlights, and if I'm wrong in relation to that, but within the first couple of seconds, when AD went through the line, you're just thinking, right, he's up for this, and he will lead the rest. Because I don't know about yourself, Annika, when you obviously heard that Jalen Ramsey wasn't in there, I think AD potentially had to step up a little bit more to lead that defensive pack as such.
Yeah, I would agree. And we needed a big performance from the big guy, and he more than delivered, you know, a sack at the start of the game, a sack to finish a game. I mean, as you guys said, there was key performances from everyone on the team, but he was definitely one of the standouts. And yeah, it's not easy going into a game which we're already, like you say, a bit worried about. Me personally, I'm honestly one of the worst fans, because when we lose, it's like, oh, it's all over. And when we win, I'm like, yeah, we're going to go to Super Bowl. I'm such a drama queen when it comes to it. And going into this game, I didn't think we'd win. 100% didn't think we'd win. So it was such a good performance from the team, and I'm so impressed. And as you said, it was a complete statement win. Really, you know, showed we were back in the game. It was good to see the run game back again. You know, watching that 49ers game was so terrible, and seeing them basically playing us at our own game. And I feel like that kind of reminded us that actually, you know, we are good at the run game. And we definitely showed it last Monday night. And yeah, it was just a brilliant game. Like you guys, I didn't get to watch it live because, yeah, I work too. And I don't think you're any less of a fan if you record it and watch it the next morning. You know, turn your phone off before you get up. Make sure you get no spoilers. Unfortunately, this one was spoiled for me because me and her huddle girls, Hannah Wilkes, who, you know, fan of this show, I know, and me and the other hosts on her huddle have a WhatsApp group where we chat about NFL. And unfortunately, Ash from Ash in the NFL spoiled the game for both me and Hannah, which, yeah, you know, rookie mistake. You just do not do it. But she did. So I did know. Luckily, I didn't know the score, but I did know going into it that we won. And I was completely shocked, to be honest. But yeah, what a win.
Yeah, definitely. And that was going to be my first sort of into it, really, was the running game. It definitely showed. And I think, Tony, I don't know about yourself, with obviously seeing that Henderson was potentially then onto the COVID list, but Sonny Michel, some people saying that we made the right decision when we brought him in to as cover, obviously, when Akers went down. But I think he really showed up in this game, and he actually showed that he can run the hard yards.
I mean, I think he did that the other week as well, to be honest, Chris. And, you know, 20 carries, 79 yards, average of 4 per carry. Those are great numbers. That's a hard-working running back you've got in Sonny Michel. And I think he did it last week against the Jags. I can't look up the numbers while I'm talking because I'm not that manually dexterous. But he's worked really hard for the last couple of games. He's taken that main role for himself. He's been that workhorse. And I just hope he's got time to recover in time to run all over the Seahawks again at this coming weekend, with it being a short week.
So the previous week against the Jags, he was 24 for 121.
Wow.
Yeah, I did. I did actually write down a bit of a stat that I saw when I was doing research for the show, and he became the first 100-yard rusher for the Rams all season with the game just gone.
And it shows that I think he's sort of taking it on his back, hasn't he, to say, right, okay, I want to be the man, or am I happy to cover for the man? And I'm not sure which way he's playing it, if I'm truthfully honest. I don't know about yourself, Annika, does he want that number one running back, or is he happy to be the cover?
It's difficult. I think with that game, he is kind of like, we keep saying statement game, but I feel like he kind of has just made a statement for himself there. And I still think Darrell will be the number one, but it's, you know, especially coming up to the playoffs, it's great to know that we've got him as well, even if he is a former Patriot that did us over in the Super Bowl that we don't talk about. But yeah, I don't know. It's going to be an interesting one to see how it runs out.
For myself, Tony, it looked like Stafford was back to himself.
It did. I mean, there was some really nice plays from him. He put us some really good numbers. You know, 287 yards. He completed 23 of 30, 3 touchdowns. It looked as though he was playing like the fourth quarter in Detroit. He was making that comeback at the beginning of the game, and it felt as though he'd slipped into that sort of mentality, as though he was already behind, which he potentially was on the personnel side, and this was him making a statement that he's not soft, he's going to stand up. We've talked a lot on the podcast about his potential injuries, which have been semi-confirmed over the last 2 weeks when we had the bye, and it felt like it was a statement game for him as well, to be honest.
Yeah, and well, I'm maybe jumping the gun a little bit here. We'll go through a couple of the plays and obviously speak about other people, but I don't know if you guys caught his interview. I caught a little bit of it at the end of the game when he was still on the pitch, and he was full on focused to the fact that, yeah, great, we've beaten them, but we move on to the next one, and it doesn't matter what happened in this game if we don't then move it forward to the next. And I like that attitude. Appreciate it's very well media trained in Anarchy. You'll be able to probably tell me better than that. But it just feels like he has got that, well, in word of a case, a want to get to move forward in those playoffs, because he's never really had that opportunity previously. Do you think he really wants it, Annika? Do you think you can actually now see it? That
I think so. I think it's been hard at him being at Detroit and not having the team around him where he can really maximise his talent. And he's always had that question mark over him. And I guess it's a bit of a chip on his shoulder that, you know, now he's actually got the chance to really prove himself. And I think he's just itching to get there. And, you know, hopefully all being well, I think he's going to really relish actually going into those playoffs.
Yeah, agree. Because, and I think like you said there, Tony, you've got to play every quarter like it's fourth quarter in Detroit when you get into the playoffs.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, we're in a good position with the playoffs. You know, we've been talking a few weeks now about we will face Dallas, and I was sort of half hoping that Washington would take them down a peg this last weekend, but that wasn't quite to be. in so much as the Cowboys even took their sideline benches with them because Seattle complained that they didn't work when they'd been to Washington the week before. Which is gamesmanship to the nth degree, isn't it? But, we're pretty much not nailed on, but we've been looking at Dallas as a playoff game for a while now. We are only one game behind the Cardinals, but I believe they hold the tiebreak against us because of their divisional record at the moment. And, you know, it's getting tight now. There are only 4 games left to play.
Yeah, I think I heard right that if they beat the Seahawks, then they have it above us.
Yeah, there's not much we can do. We can win as many games as we can towards the end of the season. We are guaranteed our fifth straight winning season with Sean McVay.
A great achievement in itself, really, for the team he picked up.
It's an amazing achievement.
And in relation to other standouts within the game, and Tony, moving forward, who, on say on the offensive side of the ball, who else was? Well, I know you're going to say first. But go on.
I wasn't going to go there first, to be honest, Chris. I wasn't. No, I've got something else lined up, so you need to come back to me on this. But you know, Cooper Kupp is online. Oh, shush.
I am happy to go Cooper Kupp first. Oh my gosh.
You know, 13 from 15 targets, 123 yards. The way he caught that low ball, Chris.
Oh, unreal.
It was amazing.
Some of the Cardinals fans were turning around and said it was only 6 inches away from a pick six.
Never going to be a pick six because he was falling to the ground himself. So he was never going to be a pick six.
No.
But you've got the chemistry that there's only way you can get that touchdown is chemistry between the quarterback and the wide receiver.
Yeah.
Simple as that. It doesn't work if you're throwing it to someone that you're not used to throwing it to. But it was post-it stamp, wasn't it?
It was absolutely perfect, wasn't it? If you'd put it either way, he'd have missed it and put it through over the line, or it'd have gone to the defender.
Yeah. And I think you could probably say the same sort of thing for the Beckham touchdown as well. Yeah, it was put in a place where he could be the only one to get it.
Yeah, you know, and that was another great, you know, obviously that was the first touchdown which had come after the Jones interception, which was potentially game changing that, because it was in the end zone, which gave us that opportunity to go with the touchdown. And you know, it's great that, you know, I wasn't a massive fan of Beckham coming to the Rams because of his attitude, or his perceived attitude, and the locker room sort of angst that he was perceived to bring with him. But, you know, the way he's integrated to the team, he seems more rounded. He seems team player.
I think he's taken on the veteran role, hasn't he?
Yep. Mm. I mean, we was talking last week about him mentoring Van Jefferson. The week before, giving him the confidence that, you know, with Robert Woods being out of the team, Beckham needed to step up. We needed to protect Cooper Kupp, and Van Jefferson has stepped up. You know, and you know, moving swiftly on to Van Jefferson's immense touchdown, that 52-yard bomb was just delicious, wasn't it? They were great touchdowns.
Something you said there, Tony, as well, and I may have noticed it, and I don't know if it was on the Beckham touchdown, if it was on the actual Jefferson touchdown. There's that bond between the two of them, because the handshakes were coming out with, I know, maybe not for yourself, Tony, you're not a one for different handshakes. You may be a man of just a simple handshake, how to do, but there's some sort of a routine that they had there for when they actually got the touchdown. So that, to me, shows that there's the chemistry between them, and that actually... For him, Jefferson as well, to get the touchdown in front of his old man. Mm-hmm. You saw the footage at the end, Annika. I thought that was quite cool.
Such a strange moment, wasn't it? Like, you could see his dad like, I really need to be mad about this, but it's also my son.
And he gave him a game ball at the end of the game, didn't he? And you could see his dad going, oh yeah, thanks, appreciate that, right in the middle of the pitch.
I just have to say, on the OBJ thing, I do think, like, this attitude thing, like, when he came over to the UK and he spent time at the NFL Academy, I wasn't around at that point, but all I hear from my colleagues is how good he was with the kids, how much time he spent, how much he really, you know, wanted to inspire them and talk to them about the game, and, you know, and I haven't heard anyone complain about his attitude when he was over the whole time. So, I don't see it at LA Rams either. So it's really interesting that, and like how, you know, obviously it didn't work out at Cleveland and there was issues there, but it's great to see that he's gelled within the LA Rams setup. And I think hopefully it's, you know, a club that's going to, a team that's going to benefit him.
No, definitely. And it's good to see. And like you say, he came on occasion, he comes to something with a perceived attitude. But I think that's what is that the New York thing when he was there to obviously build that, and that suited them at that time? I don't know. It's a different world, isn't it? And again, Annika, you're in that media world that things can be manufactured to have, look however they want to look in different ways.
Up. Absolutely love it.
And but, don't take this the wrong way, people that are listening, but over the pond, maybe that little bit more.
Yeah. But can we just, like, maybe for a second touch on the touchdown celebration? I mean, what was that all about? Did either of you guys understand that? I definitely did.
So I've seen a video that they were reenacting, and it came over Twitter, I think, the day after, and it's something, again, I'm trying to remember this, but it's something to do, I don't know if it's a sketch or something, of where someone takes a gun off the other. There is a sketch out there that they've copied, or a video that they've copied.
Urban self-defense type clip, isn't it? It's done the rounds as a meme quite a few times. I didn't get it at the time, being a little bit older. I had to have it explained to me several times on Twitter and wherever. To be honest, the only celebration I want to see after touchdowns is bob and weave. That's all I want to see.
Oh, dearie me. And so let's put it on the other side of the ball where we're stopping those touchdowns. My guys showed up. Everyone knows I have a little bit of a man crush on AD. But Tony, as you're aware, and Annick, you've been probably listening as well. My guy Leonard, the big beast himself, turned up as well. And if Kyler Murray thought he was going to throw it over the top of a 6'5" jumping Leonard Floyd, good luck to him, because it didn't work, did it?
Not at all, Chris. I mean, that was a great take, wasn't it? It was game-changing, as interceptions are. It just completely changed the attitude. And, you know, it was later on in the game, before the Cooper Kupp touchdown, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. So, and it's just great to see both Jones and Lloyd making those type of plays.
With yourself, Annika, obviously you saw a couple of times Kyler Murray was targeting the covers on the sides of the long and or. Did you start, you obviously watched the same highlights as myself and Tony, did you start to think, well, you knew the result, same as myself beforehand, but did it worry you a little bit that you could see that obviously Hopkins was getting quite a bit of traction out of that when obviously Jalen Ramsey isn't in the backfield?
Yeah, I think to start with, it did worry me. And obviously, you got two corners that aren't, you know, going to be as confident in that area. And yeah, it definitely did. But I think as I was watching it, I did actually watch the full game. You just felt Kyler Murray wasn't on his best performance. Not to take anything away, I thought it was a fantastic performance, and I think we would have beaten them had he have been on his game. But yeah, you just kind of felt he wasn't at his best.
Do you think that was from what we said before, from that first couple of snaps of where we came through the line, and he's thinking, okay, yeah, I'm gonna have to start a move out of the pocket and actually do a little bit more than what he first thought.
Yeah, 100%, 100%.
Tony, any other points of reference from yourself?
The thing we haven't talked about, Chris, is the special teams. And as much as they did not recover the onside kick late in the game, which was disappointing, I think we need to talk about Matt Gay. And yeah, I think we've talked about him previously, but I think we need to recognise that he is the most accurate field goal kicker in the NFL.
Yeah.
For any kicker who has kicked more than 10 or attempted to kick more than 10. There are three kickers that have kicked 100%, but they've only had 3, 2, and 1 between them. You know, Matt Gay has attempted 27 field goals and hit 26.
That's amazing.
And are we in a situation with him of now trusting to the fact that, as we did with Greg the Leg, to the fact that if we get the ball wherever we need it, we're confident it's going to go over the sticks?
I think we need to be, Chris. You know, yeah, this season he is 96%. Career, he's at 85%. What more do you want from the guy?
No, definitely.
You know, the one field goal that he's missed, I can't remember which game it was, but it was in the 40 to 49 range. That's the only one he's missed.
It's one of them, isn't it?
He's hit 3 over 50. So I don't know what we need to do for that. He is the best field goal kicker in the NFL at the moment.
And again, we struggled to find that kicker, didn't we? And we went through a few, and there was a couple drafted, and there was a couple cut. And
yep.
But no, yeah, you definitely, when he comes onto the field now, Annika, you definitely feel that, okay, yeah, happy, but let's move on to the next play.
I think so. And I think it's interesting to see, given that, you know, we've mentioned already on the podcast that, you know, likely possibly going to be facing the Cowboys, and, you know, Greg's airline is not doing that great over there at the minute. He's missing quite a lot, so actually it's kind of nice and a bit of a relief to go in and know we're facing Greg's airline, but actually we're probably going to be all right in that area, so not a lot to worry about.
One other player that I do want to mention, and I'm not quite sure where he got the speed or how he got up so quickly, but Greg Gaines to chase Kyler Murray down was a thing of beauty.
And it wasn't just once either, was it?
No. But the run after him and the way he tackled and got up in one motion, it was like Matrix style.
I had to re-watch that a couple of three times, actually. How did he do that? It's obviously all in momentum.
Yeah, a man of potentially Greg's size I was a little envious of that because I don't think I've moved that fast in about 15 years.
You know, I think that, again, that is somebody who's stepping up and making the plays and building confidence.
Definitely, definitely. So we have put, we will, well, if you haven't got anything else to add, we could obviously put that one to bed. And
I do have one little thing to end on. You know, I know we've mentioned your guy Cooper Kupp already, but the 43 yards that got him to his 5,000th career receiving yards, I feel like we need to mention. And we also need to mention it just because of the hilarity of him falling on the top of Byron Murphy and then turning around and, you know, as the good sportsman he is, and he won't have meant any malice in it at all, but, you know, helping Byron up, and Byron's just looking at him like, I don't need your help, mate.
Tony, have you got anything to add about Cooper Kupp?
No, that's just reminded me, actually, that I think there was a couple of plays during the game where we'd made the defence look a little bit silly with some big plays. And the looks on the faces of the defensive Cardinal players on the sideline, they were absolutely fuming. It was delicious.
I think I saw a tweet earlier today, and I think it may have been from our very own Tom. And I think you may actually want to go into that. And I don't know if you spoke about it on last week's pod, Tony, about Tom's tweet. I'll let you bring that up in a second. But he put, if Cooper Kupp doesn't get an all-pro vote from everybody, then they should have their vote removed. Because there's no, who else can you vote for, you and me?
Yeah, and, you know, that's a great case, you know. He's always been a complete player for us, and we've always seen him as an intelligent football player as well, you know, talking the quarterback talk. And that leads really nicely into what Tom did tweet last week. And he understands the game at a completely different level to even some of the best players in the NFL. And it's just the way he talks about the plays and understands what's required of the players from both a receiving perspective and from a quarterback perspective is just absolutely ridiculous. You know, I hope he never ever plays for any other team apart from the Rams.
That'd break your heart, wouldn't it?
It would. It really would. And then that's what Tom tweeted last week, actually. It was a clip of Cooper Kupp explaining one of the players. He posted the stats. What, have you got them?
I'm just going to have a quick look at them now on our chat that we were on, and he posted it. So this was, I can't actually remember when the actual conversation was happening. It may have been over the weekend on Friday of last week. And I think he sent the tweet out the day before, potentially.
And sent it out on the 6th,
Yeah, and it had 22.5 million impressions on Twitter. It completely blew up, and he had to turn his phone off for the amount of notifications he was getting. He says it just went berserk. But that's what Twitter can do, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, Tom's got a great following on Twitter anyway.
Yeah.
And he, some of the posts that he puts, I don't understand half of what he posts, to be honest, but he's really insightful about individual players and individual plays. And I think this is the one where it all came together, where it was everybody loves Cooper Kupp. Everybody loves the fact that they didn't understand half of what he was saying, but loved that he was saying it anyway.
Yeah, definitely. And it's, as you say, some of the stuff definitely goes over my head as well. So I'm glad I'm not the only one. So, Tony, you mentioned it before about the bit of the debacle in relation to the COVID list extending prior to kickoff and the injury list potentially as well. So, have you got the details there of where it was and where it now stands?
Oh, I haven't. No, I've been trying to keep up with what's been happening since, to be honest. And we do have Tyler Higbee back, but we've lost, is it Justin Hollins has gone back onto the COVID list?
As well as OBJ,
Yeah. And it just seems to be, it changes hour from hour. From what I can work out for the NFL regulations is that as long as you can return 2 negative tests within 24 hours, you're good to go.
Okay.
Yeah, and I saw something that Sean McVay said all those that he's put on COVID reserve had their vaccine, because I think it's different if you haven't had your vaccine, you have to isolate for 10 days. But yes, if you have, yeah, you can come back with two negative tests.
Yeah.
And so is that the situation for Jalen Ramsey as well or not?
It should be, because I think we only have one unvaccinated player or staff member. But we don't know who that is.
No, of course. Okay, so are we happy with the Cardinals game? Are we putting that one in the bag and we move on to the next?
I think we're ecstatic with the result, Chris.
Yeah, we're more than happy.
Good stuff. So we mentioned it briefly in relation to how the playoff standings look, and we obviously know where they are. But in relation to the potential for us to actually clinch a playoff space, from what I can see, there's four options from what the NFL website are telling me. Have you seen them, Tony?
I've seen them. I've not made a note of them, because when there's four different options that includes tying games,
yeah,
I'm not going to take too much notice just yet, Chris.
So there is ties within there. However, the easiest one to actually basically see it is, and it makes me really smile, this, it makes me happy, is that if we win against the Seagulls and New Orleans lose and Minnesota lose, then we clinch the playoff spot.
And who are the Saints playing now?
Why would you ask me that kind of a question when I don't have that in front of me? How dare you? Look at this. By the power of technology, the Saints are playing the Bucks. The Vikings are playing the Bears. So that could be the one that slips it a little bit.
And they're both the late games on Monday and Tuesday, aren't they? Sunday and Monday, sorry. We're going to have to wait for those results.
Yeah. So that's basically where it stands. So I think that's the easiest one. Like you say, the other ties come into it, and the other one is a tie for us and then three losses. But anyway, I think that's the easiest one to pick out. You need a New Orleans loss and a Minnesota loss, which they're potentially have been a little inconsistent between the two of them, and obviously they're playing the Bucs, and they're trying to keep on the front and keep the momentum. So it's getting to that time of the year where these sort of situations are going to be discussed quite a lot, right, Annika?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just to flip briefly onto the AFC side, my husband, unfortunately, is a Patriots fan. And honestly, I know, don't even get me started. But he has, for literally the last few weeks, been like, oh, we're this percentage now to make the playoffs. And he's going on all the time about the chopping and changing around, and it's getting to that exciting time. We've only got a few games left. It's looking good. So yeah, it's interesting actually being in this position, and aside COVID aside, not worrying too much about the team, because normally we get to this point and Rams tend to have a bit of a drop off, but we seem to have had that a bit earlier this season, and now we're on the way back up again. So that's quite nice and refreshing.
Fingers crossed. But no, I think it, like you say, there's going to be so many different scenarios that are going to be happening as we go through the next 3 weeks, which still seems a little odd to say that there's 3 weeks still to go. But
there's four, Chris.
Four
this weekend.
Yeah.
And it's worth looking at who's left for the NFC West as well, to be fair.
I've got that, actually.
You go for it, then.
Yes, so the Cardinals have got the Lions this weekend. They've got the Colts. Jared. They've got the Cowboys and then Seahawks. So, yeah. The Seagulls have got us, obviously, this weekend. Then the Bears, then the Lions, and the Cardinals, obviously. And 49ers have got the Falcons, the Titans, Texans, and then us. So, yeah, we've all got fairly easy running, I would say.
I mean, the other thing to
know, ours is the hardest out of the four.
Yeah, which is it's not really great news, is it?
But everybody within the NFC West has two teams that have winning records left to play.
Each other.
Well, including interdivision games, yes. yeah, the Cardinals have to play the Colts and the Cowboys, who have winning records. We have to play the Ravens and the Niners, who have winning records. The Niners have to play the Titans and us. And the Seattle are play the Rams and the Cards, who both have winning records. So it's fairly even. It's nip and tuck to the end of the season.
It's the scheduler's dream, shall we say, because it's making it not... Well, you're not going to be able to rest.
No.
Starters, are you?
I think that we've got the 49ers on our last game, because, oh my God, if we need that game...
Yeah.
Oh, such a boogie team for us. Like,
and they're all actually, for ourselves, this has been quite selfish as a UK fan, and potentially even other European fans, they're actually all at a decent hour as we now come to the end of the season as well.
Yeah, and that Vikings game on Boxing Day, Chris, is actually a 6 p.m. kickoff.
Oh, love it when it's a 6 p.m. kickoff.
Doesn't happen very often these days.
It doesn't.
Does it? But yeah, 6 p.m. on Boxing Day.
Yeah, I may have to watch that one on my phone, as I'm probably got a post-it note stuck to my head and I have to try and guess which celebrity I am. but yeah, that will probably happen at that one. But do you see this game against the Seahawks being picked up by Sky? With it being a divisional game? And
It hasn't been. It hasn't been. No, it was announced yesterday, Chris. Keep up. I had this conversation with one of our co-correspondents, John, earlier today, and I'd missed it yesterday, actually. They announced it earlier. Well,
there we go.
So we are not on Sky. It is available on Game Pass, so fill your boots.
There we go. Remember,
Game Pass is available for 99 pence this weekend.
Is it really? That's interesting.
There you go. You can have that.
Thanks for that.
Okay.
So, Annika, in relation to the Seahawks game, it's one of those, isn't it? It's the team that I probably hate most. I don't know about yourself, but yeah. Is it a game? It's a divisional game. I know they're not playing as they potentially have done previously, but how do you see that one going?
Well, I'm glad it's a home game. I'm feeling pretty confident, to be honest. Like, yeah, they haven't been on great form. And although you never quite know with the Seahawks, I don't dread it as much as I do going into a 49ers game. So, yeah, I'm feeling quite confident, especially coming off that win. Obviously, got a few injury and team issues that we need to keep an eye on this week. But even with those, I still think I'm confident going into that one. Which is rare for me.
Tony, yourself, how do you feel about going this one? I know the 49ers is potentially the more of a trouble game for yourself, but no one likes the Seahawks, right?
Nobody likes the Seahawks, do they? Especially the fans, you know, 12, what the hell's that all about? Come on. And, you know, they're a fairly new franchise. We've only played them 46 times. You know, that's nothing in the great scheme of the NFL. And they do lead that series in the regular season, 21-25. But since we've come back to LA, they've only actually beaten us four times. Whereas we've won, what is it, eight of those games.
How many other times have they beaten us where we at home?
Since we came back to LA?
Yeah.
Once.
Annika, you can come again. You put Tony on the spot. I love it.
It's a good job I've got the head-to-heads right in front of me. And all I have to do is look down and actually work out who was where. But yeah, they've beaten us at their place three times. But they've only actually won in LA the once since we came back in 2016.
Hopefully
it's a good omen. And, you know, they are 5-8 for a reason. They are struggling a little bit. We do have a red-hot offense that can tear them apart on the ground and in the air. And I just hope they do it. I hope they absolutely pound them into the ground and win by 30 points.
And you never normally do points. That's interesting.
It's just a general statement. I'm not making a prediction.
No.
This is what I want to happen.
No, that's a prediction in my eyes. It's a 30-0. Wow, okay.
I'll take that.
But no, and I think after the result and the performance that we effectively put up on Monday Night Football, I think SoFi will be rocking because everybody will be wanting and looking forward to seeing them come back. And I know my guy, Big Sam Lagana, he will be bellowing in that stadium. especially against the Seahawks. And I'm going to put you on the spot, you know, Annika. I want a, as a first time on the pod, and Tony doesn't like to do it, but what would your be score prediction?
I knew you were going to say that.
We're not going to hold it because no one will remember.
I don't think it's going to be a blowout, but I think we're going to score. I think we're going to score at least in the 30s, I would say. Yeah. So maybe, I don't know, let's go 37.
Oh, wow. Okay, I like that. Yeah. I like that. Fighting talk. I'm not going to, because I'm going to dip out.
Oh, no, you can't do that.
But I see it. But in relation, and again, Tony, I don't know if you have this up in front of you, but where are we at in relation to predictions for ourselves? Where are we at on that? And did who predicted these a win this week?
These are predictions which we made well before the season started. Let's have a look. Three of us had us winning, three of us had us losing this weekend. So Aaron, Chris and Rob had us losing against the Cardinals, whereas myself, Tom and Jordan had the wins. We all have us winning against the Seahawks.
Love that. Weekend. Yes. Because we hate them.
Yeah, so we was all feeling pretty confident about playing the Seahawks at SoFi, and we've all gone for the big dub.
Good stuff. Good stuff.
Just on hating the Seahawks, do you guys, like me, love draft day even more because the Seahawks get screwed over in it?
Yes.
Anything that upsets the old man in charge, I'm not that bothered. Because as much as sometimes the NFL tried to make Pete Carroll out to be this saint, he seriously is not. Tony, what are we looking like on socials this week?
Can we just skip this around, actually? There's something that's come up yesterday and today, which I was going to do under any other business, but I think it's a little bit more important than just doing under any other business. And I want to slip it in before I go to the social media.
Go ahead.
And that was the International Home Markets announcement. Now, this came in yesterday. It was announced as a pre-announcement, which I had no idea what they were talking about. Many people didn't really have an idea what it's talking about. But I think it's 18 of the 36 teams have applied for international home marketing areas and have been allocated different countries, which they may have applied for in some type of bidding process. But it's interesting that only 18 teams have been granted access, and I don't know how they've bid for it, but the Rams have been allocated Mexico, China and Australia. And it's interesting to note that they've been allocated China and Australia exclusively. Nobody else has gone there.
Mm.
Whereas the UK has been allocated the Bears, the Jags, the Dolphins, the Vikings, the Jets and the Niners. And I you can see the reason why the Jags have been allocated to the UK because of the international games. The Niners have that
their partnership with Leeds, aren't they?
Yeah. So that's two detestable teams for me. it's a partnership absolutely made in hell for me. And you know, traditionally, you know, the Jets have had a decent following here. The Bears have had the Channel 4. Early 80s following. The Dolphins is that holiday destination. And I don't really get the Vikings being allocated. But Annika, did you have any information of what the heck this all means?
So obviously, it's a lot of it's happened since I left. But before I left, I did know that it got approved by the owners, basically because the teams want, for some reason, and I can't remember why, wouldn't previously not allowed to target international markets, and then it got agreed that they were going to be allowed to go out to international markets. And I know the Jets, when they came over, they were really keen to spread out more into the UK, so it doesn't surprise me to see them on that list. But yeah, I think it's really interesting. It's a really interesting way to grow, you know, the game, and it also it gives the teams a bit of a chance to go and make some more team bases in different countries. So yeah, I think it's gonna be interesting. I'm up for going to Australia. I don't know about you guys.
I mean, one of the things in the press release, I mean, yes, I'm definitely up for going back to Sydney and Melbourne and great cities. One of the things in the press release states that teams that have been allocated an international home market will get an international game or they'll try to schedule international games within that market. So I think the Rams will be allocated Mexico. I have,
because that worked so well last time they tried to go there. I mean,
it did give us the Kansas City game again. It did.
Which I am going to bring up later on.
but I've looked at this before, actually, and the time difference for a China game is nearly impossible to schedule. There's a 16-hour difference between LA and Beijing, and you just cannot make it work. You're either playing the game very early in the morning, I'm talking about 6 a.m., to make it work for any type of TV audience, or you're playing at the dead of night to hit a TV slot of any description. And I just cannot see an international game in China because the time difference does not work.
I don't, just looking at it yourself, and I wasn't fully up on this until we had a very brief conversation about it prior to speaking on here. And don't take this the wrong way, guys, but I've been reading stuff while you've been talking. But of course, I'm always listening. I don't see. Well, you've got to look at it as a business perspective, I suppose, haven't you? That China's a massive market, and Mr. Kroenke's no stupid fool, and he sees that potentially as the biggest cash earner rather than the potential of playing there.
Yep.
And I don't know if you could say the same for Australia. I think you've got, you're dialing into a sports market there that potentially is already quite crowded within the sports that are obviously broadcast within Australia. And no idea in relation to how the coverage is over there. The Mexico one, I think, is probably the makes sense because of the locality is probably the wrong word, but the location of how close potentially LA is to that, and the Mexican market within LA is actually quite big as well. So I get that. But then you look at it as the flip side, as you look at someone like Tampa Bay, for instance, and as being a Manchester United fan, we are obviously owned by the Glazers, and they're in the Germany spot, which again, I find a bit odd why that they've obviously, have they bid for that or have they just been given that?
I think the teams have bid for these markets, Chris, and they're allowed to treat these countries as if they were in their home state markets.
Got you.
And, you know, whether that be merchandising, as Annika says, and TV rights, etc. And, you know, I have a little experience of watching the NFL in Australia, because I was there in, I'm going to say 2015, 2016. I might have been 2015, 2016. And I remember going for brunch in Sydney, and it must have been like 11 a.m. So I had a couple of pints and a nice brunch in this bar, watching the Rams get beat by the 49ers with what must have been a couple of dozen other people, because it was a Monday morning, watching the Sunday night game, because there's a 19-hour difference. And I can't quite do that in my head between the 6 p.m., 9 p.m. kickoffs that we're looking at. And but I mean, I'd looked at it beforehand, and I'd sort of timed the hotel, so I was in somewhere. I was actually in Morro Bay, Double Bay, sorry, which is the posher part of Sydney.
And, did you get lost?
Didn't get lost. No,
I'm just thinking about you're in the posher part. So.
Thank you. Yes, unaccustomed as I am. But you know, we did splash out on the nice Intercontinental Hotel where the All Blacks usually stay when they come to play Australia in Sydney, and it was a beautiful hotel. But it was just the sports bar just down the road, brunch, watching the NFL, and there were plenty of people watching it.
Interesting.
On a Monday morning.
No, it's
with the Germany one. You know, we've got cities in Germany currently going through a bidding process,
of course, yeah,
to host an international game, so I can understand why they might have got the likes of Tampa Bay, with obviously, you know, the pull of Tom Brady, and then again with the Patriots and the Chiefs. I guess that kind of makes sense, as that is very much a market that they really want to grow. So yeah, I can understand that one.
Interesting times, obviously, for the NFL, and like you say, it's good, and we're all fans of the game, and we're all ones wanting to promote the game, and we wouldn't be doing this if we didn't want to do that. So it can only be a positive And I just hope it's used in the right way, I suppose.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's all we can hope for, isn't it?
Yeah. So, Tony, you've got all the social media questions from the different various platforms. How many are we looking at this week?
We had quite an influx of statements and questions this week after the dearth last week. It was a bit fallow last week. But Anthony Scott asks, favourite uni combo? He prefers the white jersey and the yellow pants. And to be honest, just for the record of playing in All Burn, I'm going to go All Burn because I think our record is now 7-1. Chris, do you have a preference for the uniforms?
See, I'm all royal blue. I like the all royal.
I got to say, I've got to go with Chris on this. I like the blue as well. I'm always been a fan of the royal blue.
And I'm not a fan of the yellow or the sol.
No, I really don't like the yellow.
See, I get ragged for this quite a lot on Facebook as absolutely detesting the old colourish uniforms.
No, you didn't. You loved it, and that's why I bought it.
I hate them. Absolutely hate them. But thanks for Anthony for that that question. We did have a question around 9 wins guaranteed as a winning season, irrespective of what happens for the rest of the season. Now, McVeigh's never had a losing season with us. This is an absolutely incredible record. Ian Woodley doesn't think it's been talked about enough. And I know we had a bit of a chat beforehand, guys, but I think that move to Los Angeles and that move to Sean McVeigh is starting to reap dividends. And, you know, the more we win, the more we get to the playoffs, the more we can build the fan base, and, you know, the fan base in the UK and across Europe as well. It makes me happy. Chris, what about you?
Yeah, I think Sean McVeigh, he's got the, shall we say, the face for LA. It works. he plays the media very well. But in the end, he's taken the team to a different level from where we were before. And we've all potentially had conversations about him and where we think his downfalls are, but that's going to be the same with any coach. But for where the franchise was prior to Sean to where it is now, it's completely eclipsed to where we even thought it would go. Yep. When this young guy came in and seen what he was going to do, we would never have thought we were going to be in the position that we're in now. And it's nice to be in that position. And I think, like we've spoken about it before, Tony, you're still not quite sure how to approach it because it still feels a bit odd. You go into the season, like we've done those predictions there, but you're predicting it with a little bit of confidence. So where previously we'd be like, yeah, we'll win 10 games, we'll win 12 games, whatever. But now you're like, no, we will win those games and we will get to the playoffs. And there's that little bit more of a right, we can look quite far ahead. And it's nice place to be.
Annika, how's winning for you?
I agree. Like, Sean McVay just feels really safe pair of hands, doesn't he? I mean, I'm a big, massive Sean McVay fan, whether it be him doing crazy things like taking his top off on Hard Knocks or just the fact that, you know, sleeping at the stadium and just never ever, like, in season and probably out of it, never ever stopped thinking about football. Like, he is a football purist and I am absolutely here for it. I love it. I love the little catchphrases he comes out with, like trust in the process and the we not me. I added we not me in my wedding vows. Like, yeah, I'm a big fan of Sean McVay.
Oh, that's some dedication you got there, Annika.
Love that. I just got told what to say. You're probably the same, Tony.
Yes, yeah, traditional vows, you know, all the bits and pieces. And we'll move on from that. And Paul Milligan, again on Facebook, with Sonny Michel getting 20 carries, and I think we've covered this a little bit, do you feel that McVeigh's remembered that his play-action-based scheme works best when they run the ball, or will he revert to asking Stafford to sling it all over the field again in the next few weeks? But I think the Jags game and the Cardinals game has been a lot more balanced, and I think we've reaped the benefits of that. I'm hoping that Sean McVay has seen the light and he will lean on the running game a little bit more. Annika?
Yeah, I agree. As I said early in the pod, I think we really got embarrassed by the 49ers, and we kind of needed that shock, as that we needed to to get back to basics, and our run game has always been solid for us. So it's great to see it's strong. It's come back and it's strong again, and I think it's definitely here to stay.
Chris?
It just feels right, and it feels the way that we should play. And I think every team has to have that identity, and that's the way we do it. When we go away from it, it doesn't feel like the way that we should be playing. So let's, maybe he was trying a few different things in the middle of the season to see where it would move further on down the line. But like you say, let's hope now that that's the game plan. Let's see if people can work it out, how to stop it. And then that's when Sean McVay comes into his own, because then he messes with the playbook a little bit more. So I like the way we've moved in the last 2 weeks.
Fantastic. Two similar questions from different sources. Josh Broomfield on Twitter and our old friend Martin from the Jetwash 4. Greg Gaines, where has that speed come from, Chris?
I think he's probably still asking himself the same question, or maybe when he woke up Tuesday morning, he probably asked himself the same question. But like you said, the guy's turned up and the guy's doing his job. We can't ask for any more, but to run after Kyler Murray like that, you've seriously got to have some metal about you. So fair dues to him.
He's obviously been eating his ready brek, hasn't he, Annika?
100%, yeah.
Ready brek.
I don't know. Do they have ready brek in the US?
I'm not even sure how you explain what that is in the US.
Look it up, kids. Where else do we need to go? Gary Timms asks, where would be the best place for the Rams to go, or who would you want to host in a wild card weekend? He would happily head back to Arizona, personally. I think we've covered this a couple of times in the last few weeks. I would happily go back to Dallas. I don't think we're going to get to host in the wild card weekend. I think the best we can hope for is that game against the Dallas Cowboys. Annika?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, quite fancy our chances against, I don't know. Yeah, no, I think Cowboys, actually. I was going to say Washington maybe, but like, yeah, let's just go Cowboys. We like beating them anyway, yep. Particularly in playoffs.
Excellent. Chris?
Do you know what? And this might sound really big-headed and arrogant. When you get to the playoffs, I don't care who we play. It's a one-off game, and if you've got to beat them all to win it. So I'm not bothered. Bring them all on.
Okay. And there was one big question, and I've forgotten who asked it, actually. But top five games under Sean McVay. And I know Annika's got a couple under her sleeve. And I hope Chris has had time, because I dropped this on him just before we started. But I'm going to go off the wall for one game. And I'm going to say that one of my favourite games was actually in 2017, week 9, away to the Giants, 51-17, and I think it was as much about the performance, the scoreline, but it was also the reaction of the Rams fans, who were having a massive dance-off outside the stadium after the game. And I don't know if either of you remember that, but there was a lot of YouTube footage and Twitter footage after that game, and it just felt absolutely ecstatic. So I do have four more in my list, but obviously I suspect they'll be replicated by one or other of you. But where do you want to go with that, Annika?
So that wasn't one in my list. Obviously, I can't not have this game at number one, but it is the Chiefs, the 54-51. What a game. End-to-end football. An amazing game. And what a story leading it up to it as well. Obviously, it was meant to be in Mexico, and that got ruined by a Shakira concert. And then it came back to LA and to the Coliseum. And you know, they brought, they were having the fires at the time, and they got a load of paramedics and people in that kind of industry in for free. And it created such an amazing atmosphere, and what a game. So yeah, that's got to be my number one. Number two, I've got the Bucks this season, just because, you know, the first time beating Tom Brady is very sweet, and he was definitely not happy about it. And obviously we had the great clip of Sean McVay running up to Deshaun Jackson and also running in at half time. I mean, the guy just doesn't stop. We should get him in the front game, you know.
I would be interested to see if someone put a pedometer or something like that on Sean McVay, or even a heart rate monitor, just to see what that guy goes through. Because I don't think he's I think he left the district conditioning coach, but he was the one that pulled him away from the touchline judge, wasn't it?
Oh, if
he
got in the way. Yeah.
And I don't think he's there anymore, is he? I think he left. No, and I don't know who's got that job anymore. But he must do some serious miles.
Yeah, I think
Can I throw a game in?
Go for it, yeah.
And Tony will remember this, because I thought I may have needed medical help. But it was the Gregor Leg overtime kick in the Superdome to beat the Saints to get to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that was on my list too. What?
I remember collapsing on the floor, thinking, I can't breathe. We've beaten my brother-in-law's team. They're all going to hate me. It's absolutely amazing. Yeah, so that was up there. And then we won't talk about the game after that. I mean, that definitely isn't the top five.
But what I loved about that playoff game, aside from the fact that obviously it got us to the Super Bowl, was the absolute hate from the Saints fans that we got from that game.
Apparently there was a problem with a call or something. I can't remember what it was completely.
Go on then,
Chris. They're probably still in court about it. So I've got
they're having Mardi Gras parades about it still, Chris.
It was a very, very enjoyable.
Go on, Chris. You've got one more game, and that will round off the five between us.
Oh, I'll let you take another one.
Really? Excellent.
Yeah, go ahead.
Mine's really. I did have the NFC Championship game against New Orleans as well on my list, but the other one that I really wanted to highlight, because obviously I had the Chiefs one that Annika talked about as well, but the wild card game against Seattle in 2019, where we beat them 30-20. Thank you very much.
Yeah,
that's, you know, being a divisional rival. Yeah, yeah, just, yep, thanks, just walk off with that. And
thank you very much.
Yeah, it's I don't remember too much about the game without looking at the stats and everything like that, but just to beat a divisional rival in the wild card in their own place.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you.
I thought you might have put in there, even though it wasn't the greatest game, but you actually being in the stadium for the Ravens game, appreciate the result didn't go the right way.
Yeah.
But I thought you might have gone that for a personal status.
Yeah, it was a great experience, and I want to replicate that again as soon as I can. But I nearly went for the Twickenham game, which a lot of us were at, you know, beating the Cardinals 33-0. And you know, amazing.
I think that was the weekend was the best bit about that, was it not? The whole weekend.
Yeah, and you know, I could quite easily have done that, but I think we picked five really strong games there, to be honest, between us. So it was actually Mark Pressland, who was a regular correspondent.
Mark. On Twitter. Again, yes. he was with us at those games. So yeah, he'll remember, or he may not remember it as much as others.
He may not remember it all. But,
On the similar line of games we've seen, I do feel we need a bit of a special mention for the double reverse flea flicker at the Bengals game as well. That, I mean, seeing that in real life doesn't get any better than that, does it?
That was just ridiculous, wasn't it? You know, just the audacity of it. But I know we're pushing on for an hour with the podcast already, Chris. So I know you're timekeeping, and I can see you tapping your stopwatch there. So we've covered quite a lot of ground fairly quickly with the social media there.
Good stuff.
I'm happy that we've covered most of it.
No, we thank you for obviously sending in your questions every week, and we will keep trying to answer them the best that we can. Any other business? Anything from yourself, Annika? Anything yourself, Tony, that you feel that you are prying and needing to add in?
I'm good.
I just want to say how much I've enjoyed my first trip on the Rams podcast, UK Rams podcast, should I say.
You really enjoyed it. I think you may be asked again, Annika, definitely, because you've held your own. And anybody that can stitch Tony up is good on our books.
You're very welcome.
But no, you've been really good, Annika. Tony, you've been all right. I appreciate your time, guys, and we obviously move on. I'm going to say it, playoff bound, over back to SoFi to play the Seahawks this week. So, Tony, thank you very much for your time.
Excellent. Thanks, Chris. See you soon.
Yeah, Annika, good to have you. We will see you again soon.
Thank you.
And everybody, stay safe, and we will see you later. Take care, guys.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. For more, make sure you follow the guys on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Los Angeles Rams UK, or head to larams.uk for articles and merch.